الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك.
Honorable elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. On the topic of dua, one important dua we have been taught to recite after the salah, especially the morning prayers, is known as dua of ahd. And it's an authentic dua. And even if the chain of narrators may not be so clear, but the content of the dua is in clear and complete conformity and agreement with what the Quran teaches us. Next slide, please. Very quickly, the issues that we've already covered is that the content of the dua is a proof that the source is reliable, and that even reliable scholars like Sayyid ibn Tawus have narrated it. And finally, popular amongst the ulama, they have accepted this dua as a genuine, authentic dua. Next slide, please. We said that this dua has an outline. We want to send greetings. Greetings to whom? Greetings to the Imam, who is our Mawla, who is our Imam, who is the Hadi, who is the Mahdi, and who is the one who is going to rise up. Two, when we send our greetings, we're not selfish. We expand the greetings to include our parents, our progeny. No, we include everyone, all believers, males and females, wherever they may be. And this is based on the spirit and the adab of dua. Whenever you make dua, the imams have taught us, And you see a person trained by the imam. One of the reporters say that I was in Arafah, one of the years of Hajj, and I saw this companion, Abdullah bin Jundab. He was engaged in dua throughout that period in Arafah, and he was intense in his dua and supplication, and he was crying tears. So after the sun set in Arafah, I went and I showed my appreciation and admiration for what he did. He says, may Allah accept your dua. And he says, but you know, I never prayed for myself. This whole period you were praying, and you were praying so intensely and devotedly, and you never prayed for yourself? He says, no, I pray for my brothers. He says, you know why? Because I heard my Mawla, the seventh holy Imam, say that whosoever prays for his brother, then the Arsh replies, the Arsh as the seat of the throne, the Arsh as the seat of the authority, the manifestation of the authority of God which runs the universe, which will decide and execute every command. The Arsh replies that your dua for your brother will first be accepted for you, and then for your brother. The spirit of sacrifice. The same spirit appears here. We make a dua not only on our behalf, but on behalf of everyone else. And number three, what greetings are we sending? The maximum possible greetings. Greetings. Zinata arshillah. The measure, the wazn, zina meaning wazn, of the arsh of God, of the expanse of the knowledge of God. Next item. Okay, once we have sent our greetings, then we make a promise. Allahumma inni ujaddidu fi hadha al-yawm. On this day, on every subsequent day, I make an ahad, and I make an aqd, and I make a bay'ah. Ahad, a promise. Aqd, I consolidate it with a stronger emphasis. Bay'ah, I am basically making allegiance. It's mustahab to, in a longer dua, you tap and slap your thigh. But in this dua, it's mustahab to clench your and clasp your palms and hands together as a symbol that I'm making my bay'ah. I make my ahad and my aqd and my bay'ah to you. Next slide, please. We've gone through all these. Next, please. Next, please. We make that promise. But we need to be aware that if we break this promise, then we are punishable. Because you have seen the truth, one, you have understood it, two, you have submitted to it, three, and you have committed that you will support it and defend it, four, now, if you back out, you're punishable. So this is a warning. If I make an allegiance, that means on this day, I will be careful not to break my promise with the Imam. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Final item in the dua, after the promise, is a prayer. Oh Lord, you have given me this sharaf. You have given me this ni'mah. You have given me this fadila. And I thank you for it. Nobody can achieve any goodness until and unless Allah wills it so. مَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Surah Nahl, chapter 16. Whatever ni'mah you have, it basically originates from God. So if you have this honor of realizing who the Imam is, of having this zeal to want to commit to him, this is a grace and a favor. You think it's your own achievement? No. Recognize and realize, acknowledge that it's from God. Thank you for it. Next slide, please. So the prayer continues by saying, Allahumma ja'alni min ansarihi, one, wa ashya'ihi, two, wa zabbina anhu, three, wal mustashhadina bayna yadayhi, four, and then the description, فِي الصَّفِ الَّذِي نَعَكْتَ أَهْلَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ فَقُلْتَ كَأَنَّهُمْ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. I just want to elaborate these four stages. I want to be your supporter, one. Two, higher than that, I want to be your Shia and your total follower. Higher than that, I want to get so close to you that I become your protector. And nobody can get that close to the Imam. To be accepted as a protector, unless he's trustworthy. So I start from supporting. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Then I become a Shia, total follower. I rise to a higher rank. I am ready to be accepted and qualified to be accepted as his protector. Finally, I'm ready to sacrifice myself for him. That's the highest rank. This dua is quite important because this is the pledge and the promise now being made. In the Prophet's time, the Prophet had followers who failed to support him. And the Quran discusses their failure, again, as an eye-opener. So we need to remind ourselves, where would we stand should the Imam make his appearance? Would we be true in our commitment to support him or not? In Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, a substantial portion of Surah Tawbah discusses the event of the mobilization for the Battle of Tabuk and the reluctance or the unwillingness of the Muslimin to support the Prophet. In one case, Allah condemns them. In chapter 9, ayah number 38, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَا لَكُمْ. What is your problem? إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ إِنْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. When you are instructed and mobilized, the command has been issued. The army is ready to move. Everyone who is able-bodied should participate. مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ إِنْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There is nafra. There is a common mobilization, massive mobilization. إِسَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. The problem with you is you gravitate down to the earth. I've got my family, and I've got my business, and I've got my children, and I've got debts to pay, and I've got commitments to fulfill. There's an interesting case. There was a person who got married. It was his wedding night. And even he, according to the instruction of the Quran, you have to abandon your wife and go to the Prophet. He went to the Prophet and he sought permission. You are leaving, but I will not accompany you today. Just give me one night and I'm joining you tomorrow. And the Prophet granted him that permission. We can't have a bigger commitment than that, can we now? مالكم, what's your problem? When you're told move, you tend to gravitate. Ah, let me tell you what the problem is. أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة. Is it this lower life, this pleasure, life full of pleasures, of physical pleasures of this world that are keeping you away from Akhirah? Well, the answer to that is ما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل. True, you have pleasures. True, you have a lot of possessions. True, you are attached to it. But remember this much. All these pleasures compared to the Akhirah, one, are very small. That is much bigger. Two, the pleasure is short-lived. That is long-lasting. Three, even the pleasure you get here is superficial. That is much deep. Four, there are certain pleasures you can't even know here. It's only there that you'll get it. ما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل. It's a very important obstacle we need to overcome whenever we make the bay'ah. Because most people fail at this stage. There's an incident narrated in our books which record meetings with the Imam. In Iraq, there is this shopkeeper, and two gentlemen come to him and they want to purchase. During the conversation, he discovers that these two people are strangers, but they're extraordinarily good people. And so he becomes interested and he says, but why do you want this particular item? They said, well, one of the companions of the Imam has expired and we need this. Oh, you need it for the companion of the Imam? You're in contact with the Imam? And they keep silent. Now he gets interested. I want to reach the Imam. And he says, but no, we have not been granted permission to take anyone to his audience. And he keeps on insisting. And they said, but we don't have permission. We can't take anyone. He said, all right, why don't you just accompany me, allow me to accompany you, but on the condition that when you reach that final stage, I will wait back. You go inside, ask permission. If granted, I will come in. So they finally agreed. And they travel from land. They come to the sea. And these two gentlemen just walk over the sea. And he keeps on staring at them. Excuse me, what about me? And he says, what's the problem? Just say Bismillah and seek the wasila of the Imam and walk. And he says Bismillah and seeks the wasila and he walks. As he's walking on the ocean, they reach a stage where the weather changes. It's cloudy. It's about to rain. And he says, oh my God, I left in a hurry. He was apparently a perfume seller. And I've left some cakes, soap cakes, drying. My God, they are going to become wet. My business is going to suffer. And he starts sinking. As he starts sinking, he calls out and they come back to him. And they say, Bismillah again and come out. And they pull him out and they continue. Till they reach the dry land, then they proceed. And then he's asked to stop somewhere. The two gentlemen proceed and they go inside the khaymah. He can hear from a distance. The important thing he hears is, apparently they must have gone to greet the Imam and to seek permission. Can he come inside? And the answer was, no. هذا رجل صابوني. This Mze is still in his sabuni. His business is holding him back. No. There are ranks of proximity to the Imam. This dua tells us, step number one, I have to learn to begin to support whatever cause the Imam stands for. Sometimes I do, sometimes I fail. Grade two, I begin to follow him in all aspects of my life. Grade three, then I can be accepted as a special confidant and a protector. And grade four, finally, of course, would be the time when we can sacrifice ourselves for him. But the qualification is, I want to be a member of the army which is saf which is bunyanum marsus. Bunyan, a structure. Marsus, marsus is from the word risasi. Risasi is lead. Lead, which is firm, hard metal. Bunyan, which is compact and strong and impenetrable, which cannot be penetrated. Metaphorical way of saying the ranking is so strong and the bond is so strong. They're united, they're brotherly, they're ready to help each other, they're ready to sacrifice. I want to be a member of that team and that army of the imam. But the dua says, ta'i'an ghayra mukrah. I want to be a member of this army voluntarily, not that I've been forced into it. I seek it, not that I am mobilized and instructed, come over. I seek to become a member. Not when the time comes, then I'm forced to do that. In that surah, Tawbah, which says that, what's the problem with you? Why don't you join? And why don't you come to this army? And the next ayah, it warns. It says that if you don't join, illa tanfiru, yu'azibkum azaban alima. One, wayastabdil qawman ghayrakum. Two, thumma la tadurruhu shay'a. Three, if you don't join, then you'll be punished. Why? The truth was clear. The Prophet was there. The cause was clear. You have to fight falsehood. There is no reason for you not to join. But if you decide not to join, you'll be punishable. One, not only will you be punishable, two, you are replaceable. You go away, you're disqualified. Somebody else comes in your place. In dua of Ramadan, we ask for the action on this dua, on this ayah. In the Qunut, the dua, we say that, وَلَا تَسْتَبْدِلْ بِي غَيْرِي. Make me amongst those who give nusra and support to your deen. وَلَا تَسْتَبْدِلْ بِي غَيْرِي. Don't replace me. Don't let me be disqualified. And therefore somebody else should come and fill my post. So one, we're punishable if we refuse. Two, we will be replaced. But the important thing is, ثُمَّ لَا تَضُرُّهُ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. God's power is unlimited. If you fail to support, you think God's cause will fall to the ground? No way. God is always creating. A new generation will come. This generation is lost. It's gone. It's failed. It's a shame. Another generation will be brought. Another chance will be given to them. They will be tested. They will be checked. Can they support? Can they follow? Can they become protectors? And definitely there will come a time where there will be a generation who will be committed enough to make that determination to say no to the dunya, no to the devil, no to the desires of the nafs. The three biggest enemies we have. Shaytan, one, dunya, two, and the nafs, three, the desires, the devil and the dunya. There will come a generation who will do that and they will qualify. We remind ourselves, are we going to be that generation or not? Every day in the morning, seriously, we pray, please accept us and don't reject us. Let's pray to Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to rise to that level where we are accepted as soldiers for the imam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.